It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to Episode 6, Season 6 of Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Louisiana Tech, a heartbreaking loss last Saturday against Kansas, 13-10 with a last-second 52-yard field goal from Kansas to down the Bulldogs in the waning seconds of the ball game. We'll get into that game really in the second segment. But Jared, before we get into really Conference USA talk in this first segment, how about some sponsors?
Blue Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. You can call us on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email us your questions at radio@bleedtechblue.com. Also, you can tweet with the hashtag BTB Radio.
We will be anxious and ready to answer those questions. Jared, you said this right before the show began, that the Western Division of Conference USA...
terrible.
That's your word. I'm going to get you a thesaurus for Christmas. So you can use other words than terrible.
It's not that I don't have the vocabulary.
I know it's not.
Terrible just sums it up so well.
It's not good. The Western Division of Conference USA, UTSA, Tulane, North Texas, Rice, Tulsa, UTEP, and Louisiana Tech, in my opinion, are all pretty equal.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree.
Of course, Tulane beat Louisiana Tech on the gridiron for the first loss for Louisiana Tech, first W for Tulane. UTSA played UTEP this past week, beat UTEP on the road pretty handily. So UTEP's probably towards the bottom of that bad Western Division.
Yeah, I would agree, although I don't want to say that to take away anything from the Roadrunners, because the Roadrunners are...
they are playing well right now.
They're playing well, and they're a well-coached team. What I want to point out is that you mentioned the teams at the top. Tulane has not beat a team with a winning record. UTSA has not beat a team with a winning record. Rice, I'm not sure about Rice, but North Texas has not beat a team with a winning record. So that tells you the quality, although Tech was one of those teams that did lose, that shows you the quality of the wins.
And I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, that once Louisiana Tech's offense does finally find some consistency, they're going to be okay. We saw flashes of that against Kansas. We'll get into that in the second segment, but that held true.
Rice is the only one that has a win against a team with a winning record, and that's Kansas at 2-1.
And Kansas almost is 1-2.
Kansas, yeah, they should be 1-2.
We'll go through our power rankings on BleedTechBlue.com. Of course, we, like every week, we polled many of the Rivals.com publishers from around the conference, and this is how it came out this week. East Carolina remains number one. Marshall remains number two. Middle Tennessee moves up a spot from number four to number three. Rice moves down a spot to number four after losing to Houston this past weekend. North Texas holds steady at number five. Tulsa holds steady at number six. UTSA rises up to number seven from number 10 after their W over UTEP. Tulane drops a spot to number eight from number seven after a walloping by Syracuse this weekend. And will they have good fortune again in North Louisiana this weekend against ULM? Time will tell. Louisiana Tech moves up a spot after a loss to number nine from number 10, mostly because of all the promise that they showed.
Yeah, well, it was the promise that they showed, the improvement of the offense, the improvement of the offensive line, a really good defensive performance.
When you hold anybody to 10 or 13 points, you've got a really good chance to win the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if they make the 28-yard field goal and 16 points, that's still a really good outing. So yeah, like you said, mostly based off of promise that they showed, and also the other teams losing.
Yeah, UTEP dropped to number 10 from number 8 this week after a 32-13 loss to UTSA. UAB threw FIU at the bottom. UAB number 11. FAU at number 12, Southern Miss number 13, and FIU number 14. I think FAU may be for real, though. They may be heading up the rankings. They gave Middle Tennessee all they wanted. Overtime loss at home. Is Middle Tennessee as good as we're making them out to be? That I don't think so. That's not where I have them, but lots of people do. They actually got a first-place vote this week, and that kind of skewed the numbers. I think that's really the main reason they moved up in the rankings.
Well, they got a first-place vote probably because they have the best record in the conference, but if you look at the teams that they played...
Nobody.
They beat FAU in overtime by a touchdown. They beat Memphis by 2 points. The only quality opponent that they've played is North Carolina, and they... got beat by over two touchdowns. So I don't think
Middle. You know Memphis isn't bad. They did shellack Arkansas State this weekend. And Arkansas State's not a bad football team.
No, Arkansas State's not a bad football team. Actually,
and Memphis absolutely
I'm a fan
abused
of Arkansas
them.
State. I just don't think the Middle Tennessee is. I don't think they're that good.
East Carolina and Marshall are the best two teams in the conference, and it's not even close.
And it's not even close. They're the class of the conference.
And then it's Middle Tennessee, Rice, everybody else, and then FIU somewhere at the very, 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 very bottom.
You know, I said over the entire whenever we first got the idea, and then as we were putting our preseason rankings together and then through week one and all of that stuff, I said I'm not going to put Southern Miss higher than last until they win a game. But, boy, watching FIU, I've had no choice but to – retract.
FIU.
Oh, they're bad.
Basically begged for a running clock against Louisville Saturday.
Yeah.
During a 72-0 rout.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. Their FIU is so they're so bad. Next week, Southern Miss will get their first win. That's how bad they are.
This week, Southern Miss plays Boise State. They will continue their losing streak.
Oh, absolutely.
Boise is not the Boise of old. But Southern Miss is not going to beat Boise on the blue turf.
No. I believe the line for that game was pretty big. 27.5, Boise State favored over Southern Miss.
That tells you how bad Southern Miss is.
Yeah. Because
Boise is not, like I said, Boise is not the Boise of old.
No, they've already got two losses.
To go through the Conference USA gamut for the week, Iowa State at Tulsa Thursday, September 26th at 6:30 on Fox Sports 1. Iowa State, correct me if I'm wrong, Tulsa beat them last year, didn't they?
Correct.
On the road.
Correct.
And in a bowl game. Liberty Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were 2-0
When you said on the road.
They played them twice last year.
Oh, they played them twice?
Yeah. They played them in Iowa and in the bowl game.
Okay.
So they were, I think Tulsa was 2-0 against them last year. Iowa State's 0-2 this year.
I'm taking Iowa State. I picked them.
I completely agree with your pick.
Yeah, I'm taking Iowa State.
Tulsa is favored by 2.5. Jared in his preview feature this week has Iowa State winning. I agree wholeheartedly with this pick. Tulsa's just not very good.
No, they're not.
I don't know how
they've fallen off fast.
And they didn't lose that much.
No, they didn't. And they returned their top two running backs. And Trey Watts
was preseason all conference. He is leading the conference in all purpose yards.
Right.
But that's in receiving. I think he returns kicks and returns punts. So yeah. He's a jack of all trades for the Golden Hurricane.
Forgive the pun. He's electric.
He is.
Trey Watts.
Wow. I was not picking up where you were coming from there.
You don't pass up on an opportunity like that.
I do. Because okay. I don't like puns. But Jason, you're picking up Jason Slack once again. He was the pun guy. You've got that. Friday, September 27th, Middle Tennessee travels to Provo, Utah for BYU. 8 p.m. kickoff on ESPNU. BYU by 21.5. BYU here.
Yeah, BYU all the way.
BYU is not that good. They really aren't. They may have beat Texas in Austin, but they're really not that good. And that just tells you how poor the conference is this year in football, that based on the Conference USA power rankings that we have, that Middle Tennessee, the number three team,
is going to lose to a team like BYU, a 21.5
yeah,
point dog.
Dog on the road to BYU.
BYU.
That tells you the status of the league in football. East Carolina on the road at North Carolina. And North Carolina favored by 11.5. Jared has North Carolina, and I once again agree wholeheartedly. 11:30 kickoff, 11:30 a.m. on ESPN3. Make sure you check that one out. Navy travels to Western Kentucky. We're going to preview. We preview the games for the future opponents, our future conference mates for Louisiana Tech as well. Navy travels to Western Kentucky this weekend. 1 o'clock kickoff on Watch ESPN app. Navy by 3. Jared has Western Kentucky winning, and I once again am in agreement. So,
oh really? You do agree?
Yes.
Continue to take Western Kentucky. I don't know why. I've not watched a game.
Because it's Petrino.
That's
what more do you need to know?
It's most, yeah. I guess it's mostly that.
He's going to have him rolling. It's just a matter of time.
I love the Western Kentucky logo. The hand holding up the terrible towel. That's what it looks like.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, have you ever seen the blob, the red blob?
I have not.
You need to Google that stats because that is it's scary. It's one of the most recognizable mascots in college basketball. He's really strange looking. UTEP travels to Colorado State, another not good football team where Conference USA is not favored again by double digits. Colorado State by 12. Jared picks Colorado State, and I agree once again wholeheartedly.
Boy, UTEP looked bad against UTSA. Offense was bad.
They're 3 games into a new scheme as well.
Yeah. It's Sean Kugler's first year as the head coach. I believe he brought in a new offensive coordinator and retained the defensive coordinator. Is that correct?
I couldn't tell you.
I'm almost positive. And the defense hasn't looked very good, and the offense hasn't looked very good either.
We're going to skip over the Army at Louisiana Tech game 3 o'clock on Fox Sports 1, of course, because we're going to talk plenty of that game.
I do want to share that Louisiana Tech is favored by 1 in that game.
I wonder if that line has changed. We will look into that before the talk begins. I think I'm gonna run through the rest of these games, and we'll get to the break. I'll give you a signal there, Joe Derte. No worries. Houston at UTSA. Houston's a little better than I thought they'd be. Went across town and beat Rice.
Yeah.
Houston's favored by 3. I think that'll be a really good football game, and Vegas agrees. I wouldn't surprise me if UTSA pulled this one out, and of course Jared's picking Houston, and I probably would agree with that as well. Albany, I don't even know what class of football that is. If it's FCS or if it's Division II or Division III, I couldn't tell you.
It's FCS, but I don't know what the name of their conference is. The abbreviation is CAA.
Colonial American Conference.
Colonial American Conference.
Colonial American Athletic. Athletic Conference, CAA, yes. Albany at Old Dominion. There's no line on that FCS game. Jared picks Old Dominion. They're 2-2 on the year. Florida Atlantic on the road against Rice. Rice by 13.5. Rice will get that W. And that'll really tell you how good FAU is. Do they do exactly what they did against Middle Tennessee and give them a scare, or does Rice beat them by 2 possessions?
Yeah, I really feel like Rice is a better team than Middle Tennessee. I expect Rice to win. I don't know that they'll cover a two touchdown line, but I expect Rice to win. If FAU does, then we'll know that they've turned around and they're headed up the rankings.
Sure. Tulane at ULM, 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN3. ULM favored currently by 12.5. Jared giving the ULM pick.
Yeah, I did, although the whole time I was thinking Tulane.
You were thinking with your heart, not your head?
Yeah, I guess so.
If Tulane can play like they did against Tech and can protect Nick Montana at all, and if Ryan Grant is healthy, what happened with ULM against Baylor this weekend? 70-7.
77-7.
Was it 77-7?
Yeah.
I thought it was 72-7. It was 72-7.
I have 77-7 on there. I don't know where that came from then.
6-1, half a dozen of another, let's be honest. If Ryan Grant can get loose behind the coverage, it could be a long day for the Warhawks. But that remains to be seen. We will find out on Saturday evening. UAB travels to Vanderbilt. That game won't be close.
No.
Did you see the picture that I retweeted from UAB Stadium?
Oh yeah.
Against Northwestern State.
The attendance.
There might have been 5,000 people in Birmingham for that game.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was really bad. Vanderbilt easily in that one. Southern Miss, of course, at Boise State. I give Boise State favored by 27.5. Boise will take care of this one. So let's take that break that Joe's been asking us to take. We'll take the break, and on the other side, we will begin talking about the Louisiana Tech-Kansas game here on ESPN Radio 97.7 on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
When it comes to choosing an insurance... Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me here. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into the Kansas game, but we're trying to get you into the Army mood with this music.
Yeah, I like the song. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or send us your emails at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
You know, Jared, I was pretty harsh. Maybe not too harsh. Kind of harsh on Ryan Higgins last week. And I tweeted earlier, I guess it was probably Sunday, that I said that I was excited about the show because I would be eating crow and tooting my own horn at the same time. The crow I need to eat is, man, Ryan Higgins played well. Minus the fumble inside the one-yard line, through the end zone. I don't think anybody expected Ryan Higgins to play that well outside of probably Ryan Higgins.
Well, in the first half... There was a lot. I'll say it like this.
You got a caveat?
There's a caveat for, I guess, how I'm going to judge his performance. He really grew a lot in the game. He grew a ton. I think what I liked to see was the confidence that he had coming back out onto the field after they leave the field with no points because of a two. Kyle Fisher missed field goals, or the fumble right there at the goal line that he was just trying to make a play. Finally, he finally gets a big gain on the zone read, keeps it himself, finally works, gets some positive yardage, gets all the way down to the goal line, fumbles the ball through the end zone. And that was just kind of
– I don't say that's a freshman mistake. Personally,
no, that's not a freshman mistake.
When you've been playing football a long time, you can't do that. And I think he would agree with us that you can't. You got to protect the football. But given all those facts, I don't think that I've ever seen a football team progress as much as they did in 1 week
from Tulane to Kansas.
That was not the same football team that played Tulane.
Well, I think the coaching made the biggest difference in the world. I think the changes on the offensive line.
Rolling those seven or eight guys in at offensive line was huge.
Right, and then also Kano handled the cadence.
And played his best game as a Bulldog.
Yeah.
At center.
Absolutely. Only three penalties for 35 yards for the Bulldogs. They were averaging six a game. So, big turnaround. They still did well running the ball. Offensively, I was really surprised that they allowed – well, not so much allowed, but asked Ryan to throw the ball 55 times, considering how close the game was the entire time. It was never to a point where they were just throwing the ball, trying to get back into it or anything. He was just throwing a ton.
And whenever you move a guy like DJ Banks, who caught 13 balls to inside receiver, and he played outstanding. 13 catches for 82 yards, 6.3 yard a carry average. It basically was an extension of the running game.
Yeah, it was. And the way they and the routes that he ran proved that they were just trying to get the ball out quick and let him make some moves.
The number two leading receiver in that game, yardage-wise, Trent Taylor.
Trent Taylor, two catches.
We knew it was coming.
And the one big gainer, the 36-yard, was huge. And
it was a beautiful play.
And it was mostly Trent. You know, there's a lot of these balls that you'll see where the quarterback will throw it 5 yards and it's a 55-yard gain.
This one was behind the line of scrimmage.
This one was behind the line of scrimmage, and he earned every one of those 36 yards. I was really impressed with Trent Taylor.
That's what we've seen from Trent in practice, and I think that the game has finally caught up with him. When you hear this from freshmen that the game's faster than they can think, Tevin King said it a lot last year and early in the season. I think he has sped up to the speed of the game. I'm not going to say it slowed down to him because the game hasn't gone anywhere.
Right.
But he looked like the Trent Taylor we thought he could be. Sterling Griffin, 6 catches for 49 yards, 8.2 yard a carry average. They need to let him try to stretch the field. Now those corners for Kansas were good.
They were. They had two really solid corners. They did.
But both the Army corners will not be that good.
No. Both corners on the outside were good. I wish that Sterling Griffin, he is only 6 feet tall, but he's so quick.
He is.
He's really quick. I wish that, you know, we could see him, you know, go deep down the sideline or something, throw him up to him. I will say that I was not impressed with Higgins' deep ball. Boy.
Anyway, that's been a strength of practice.
I know, and I was concerned. I thought so. And I saw him in practice, and I saw him, especially in the spring, I saw him throwing it a lot. And in practice, he looked good. And the deep ball, I'm not going to say that I was concerned with his deep ball. It was just too deep. He would consistently overthrow the guys on the deep routes. And
that's probably a little juiced.
I think so. You know, it's just got
first,
a lot of
first
adrenaline.
First start, the concern that I've had with Ryan Higgins from the get-go was turnovers and his accuracy in the short and medium passing game. He wasn't perfect in the accuracy or the turnovers, obviously. He had a fumble and an interception. The accuracy will come the more he matures. There were several routes that were on the between the numbers and the sideline that he put on the inside shoulder instead of the outside shoulder. If it's between the numbers and the sideline, you need to put it on the outside shoulder. But that's going to come. I think he should be the starter from here on out, in my opinion.
Well, I think he didn't do anything to lose the job. The entire time, all he did was
make plays.
Was make plays and turns nothing into something. And
the fumble is him trying to do too much, and that's a freshman.
Yeah, and he was reaching for the pylon. He was just trying to reach to you know break the play and get the touchdown.
But go out at the one. You've got Kenneth Dixon. Give the horse the rock.
Yeah,
and let him get 1 yard.
Yeah,
you got four tries at it.
You know, KD had a good game.
He's back.
Oh, yeah. 18 carries, 129 yards, 7.2.
They had negative yards rushing.
At one point, I saw your stat. They were -2 rushing. And then Kenneth Dixon, it was almost as if he saw your tweet and said, okay, I'm going to do something about that.
I'll show you that, Jay Ford.
He then runs 16 yards on one carry and brings them back into the positive. And after that, it was as if Kenneth Dixon just couldn't be stopped. That 16-yard run.
And, of course, the low light of Kenneth Knight was the inside the 5-yard line, fighting for yards, doing what running backs do. He's a split. He's a fraction of an inch away from being down. And the Kansas linebacker or defensive lineman reaches up and pulls the ball out, literally a fraction of an inch from him being down. You hate it for the kid. Got to protect the football. He did have it high and tight. It was a nice play by the defense.
Yeah, it was. You know, and I talked to some fans. I was in my living room watching the game and had some buddies over, and everybody was just heartbroken. But there was not one fan who was more heartbroken than Kenneth Dixon himself.
No.
Man, to see that
the agony,
grown man.
The agony of defeat.
Oh,
of defeat.
I mean, he had tears in his eyes, and I hated it for him. I wanted him to get the touchdown. I felt like he deserved the touchdown, you know. He was trying to put the team on his back and carry them into the end zone.
The other positive was the play calling was brilliant.
Oh, it was so.
The balance was great.
Right. The balance was which.
Yeah, 32 runs and 35 passes.
Well,
32
runs, 35 completions,
yes.
55 passes. But most of those passes, again, like you said, they were an extension of the running game. There were a lot of
deeks and dunks.
Yeah, it was just, you know, dinking and dunking down the field.
And
that works. And as long as it works, I don't care if you throw it 100 times. If you're completing 70 of those 100, go ahead.
And then you look at defensively, like we said, 13 points was the total output of the KU offense. Two turnovers, both interceptions.
Yeah, Daniel Cobb's play. Daniel Cobb's interception was a nice interception. Thomas McDonald's was just like...
was a gift.
Was there a single Kansas offensive player even in the area? No, there was not.
That was a gift. How Jake Heaps set records at BYU his freshman year, I'm scratching my head.
Yeah, I agree. Something else I wanted to point out. Louisiana Tech now ranked 55th in the country in points against, giving up 22 points a game. That's it. That's not.
You should win a lot of games.
You should win a lot of games when your defense is holding
them. In time for me to toot my horn. What have I been saying? The defense is going to keep them in games, and if the offense can ever come around, they're going to have a chance to win football games.
And they were so close today, or Saturday.
You take away the three turnovers, and of course you can't. It's hard to do that.
Right.
But you two fumbles inside the five.
Oh, yeah.
There's at least six right there.
Yeah, you're talking a 12-point swing, really a 14-point swing, assuming that you make the PAT. And then the touchdown pass to Guyot.
It went right through his hands.
It just went right through his hands. I mean, he was fully extended. He was up as high as he could possibly get.
As high as 5'9 would let him.
Yeah. And it was just – I hate it for Guyot. I hate it for Higgins, because Higgins really should have had two touchdowns passing, one rushing. You know, he really should have. Personally, I think that the job is Higgins. I think he earned it Saturday.
And I was wrong. I thought it was Scotty Young.
Right. What we weren't wrong about was the coaching staff.
We were right.
We were correct about the coaching staff. For those who were concerned with the coaching staff and were concerned about the play calling and the such, consider yourself relieved, because the coaches responded well to the Tulane loss. They made adjustments, and I thought that the team looked much improved.
And on paper, when we saw that final depth chart, there really weren't as many moves on offensive line as we were expecting.
Well, Larry Banks was not in anymore.
Larry Banks was not the left guard. It was Trey Carter. But Larry played.
Yeah.
Jens Danielson was a left tackle. Darryl Brown played. Who would have thought that one change would have affected it that much? But it did.
It did. That and also Kano handling the cadence.
And Holt said they had tried it earlier in the year, but they decided to stick with it being a freshman quarterback and putting more onus on the senior offensive lineman.
Right.
And I think it was a good idea, obviously.
It was a good decision.
Last year, Tech was the only school in the country that did it, and it worked.
It did.
Stephen I wonder Warner. If they will continue to be the only team in the country that does it. I wonder if Cal's doing it now.
You know, I don't know. That's something that I should check into. I wonder if they are, because their quarterback is a redshirt freshman.
And he is leading the country in passing.
Yeah. Ryan Higgins, like we said earlier, threw 35 of 55, 289 yards, 5.3 yards per completion average. One touchdown. The one pick that Heaney picked off
was not on him. That's on Jakari Jackson. You got to haul that ball in. But again, it's another one of those between the numbers and the sideline that hit him on the inside corner.
Right, yeah.
Or inside shoulder.
The ball placement wasn't perfect.
But it's catchable.
Man, he really made a play to get that pick. He really did. That's just a football player making a football play. I can't really hold that against Ryan. Jakari Jackson could have, should have, and if you give him another chance, probably would have made that catch.
The defensively, let's switch gears, because I think we've already bragged on the offense enough for this segment. Let's take that break, and on the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more about Kansas, and then we'll get to we're going to call the publisher of GoBlackKnights.com, Charles. I'm not going to try to say his last name. I'm going to get him to say that on the air, because I'm not positive on how to say his last name. But we'll finish the defensive portion of Kansas after this break. Guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
Don't wait, the bullets rip to the side of the beast, yeah.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into defensive stuff about the Kansas game.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. You can give us a call on collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email us your questions at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Kansas' best player on offense is Tony Pearson.
Tony Pearson, for sure.
And Tech kept him in check for the most part.
Yeah.
He had just shy of 100 yards of total offense between rushing for 27 and receiving for 82. But that's a victory. Keeping that guy from big plays. We had somebody on the message board during the game in our game chat wanting the cushion to be less. And really, Tech fans have been calling for that since Tommy Spangler's days. They want less cushion at corner. Well, the name of the game on defense is to keep the offense from making big plays and keeping the play in front of you. And with Tech's corners now, Adarius Barnes and Levander Liggins, those guys can react fast enough that the cushion's okay.
Boy, Levander Liggins is good, isn't he?
He's a different player this year than he was last year.
Oh, he's 100% different than he was last year. Last year, he wouldn't put his hands up. He wouldn't turn his head around. This year, they're not even throwing to him because
the guy's not open.
The guy's not open. He's covered. And when he isn't, Levander makes a play on the ball, and somehow or another.
And how about Adarius going step for step with Tony Pearson down the sidelines, makes a pick out of bounds, but that was a perfectly played ball.
Yeah. The Louisiana Tech secondary improved a ton from the Tulane to Kansas game also, which people don't like it when we say young, so I'll say inexperienced, although secondary is young.
It is inexperienced. It's not that young. It's inexperienced at that position.
The inexperience of the secondary, I mean, like Coach Holtz continues to say every week, okay, now these guys have three games under their belt, you know. I thought they turned it around. I thought the secondary played really well. Overall, as a defense, the Bulldogs played really well.
Shaq Lucas had an opportunity for two picks in the game.
Oh, I know.
One of which they dialed up him in coverage.
He dropped back.
He dropped back in coverage and really heaps threw it right at him. He batted it down, and he thought afterwards, he was like, you know what, that hit me right where I could have caught it.
Yeah. He had two really good deflections.
And Jelly Bean continues to get better. I finally think that Justin Ellison realizes how dominant he can be. And IK, no, I mean, what more can you say about IK and Apolli?
Yeah, IK, he's believe it or not, he's second on the team in tackles for a loss with 7 because Daniel Cobb just keeps getting back there for even more. Daniel Cobb has 8, but also IK has 5.5 sacks on the year.
Daniel Cobb, in the press conference yesterday, I asked him, I said, you played behind a Big 12 defensive line at Texas Tech. Now you've played behind Louisiana Tech's defensive line. Just talk about which one's better. And he said, oh, Louisiana, this defensive line is the best defensive line I've ever played behind. And his knack for filling the hole and making a play is it rivals Adrian Cole. I'm not going to say it's better than Adrian Cole because Adrian Cole is one of the best middle linebackers to ever play Louisiana Tech. If Adrian Cole is 6 feet tall, he's playing on Sundays right now. But he's 5'10", and he's not. But the linebacking core, Mitch Villamez is outstanding in coverage. Both feet, that play he made on third down, disrupting the play. I don't know how you don't block the guy. You see he's blitzing.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he gets a tackle for a loss on James Sims, who is a good running back. And Tech held him to 78 yards on 20 carries for a 3.9 yard a carry average. They got to get better than that against Army because that's all Army's going to do.
Yeah, all Army's going to do is run the ball all game long.
Triple option.
They're going to run a lot. Yeah, it's going to be triple option the entire game. And it's Santiago, the quarterback, is going to keep it a lot. He's actually leading the team and rushing yards.
And, you know, with the speed of this team, with Xavier Woods, with Lloyd Grogan, Mitch Villamez.
You know,
Daniel Cobb.
You know who's a lot faster and a lot better in coverage than I thought?
Who?
Thomas McDonald.
He is.
Though I'm not talking about the pick either, because the pick had nothing to do with coverage. It was just
luck.
Okay. Heaps needs somewhere to go with the ball, and so he decides, well, McDonald is the only one open, so I'll throw it to him. But no, I watched him in secondary because I didn't know a whole lot about him going into the season. And he was really good in coverage.
I think the reason he was – Tech was his only offer, and it was a late offer. This new staff is who offered him. I think the reason people stayed off of him is because of how skinny he is.
He is skinny.
He's 6'4", about 180, looks like a basketball player. He hits like a linebacker, though. Somehow.
I don't know. I don't get it. But I was impressed. I was impressed with what I saw from him. You mentioned that Daniel Cobb had said that the Louisiana Tech defensive line was the best D-line that he's ever played behind. Over the weekend, I was looking at some of the defensive statistics for Louisiana Tech compared to the rest of the NCAA. Tech is 12th in the country in tackles for loss right now with 34. They're 14th in the country in sacks with 14. The coaching change at D coordinator, and then I mean it's the same defensive line that was there a season ago.
Now they're more experienced.
Sure,
I
just think Kim Dameron has really turned around.
Kim Dameron's a wonderful
the defense.
Coach. I think he got a raw deal after his Ole Miss stop. He probably should have been able to land on his feet somewhere else, but he didn't. And luckily for Tech, he didn't. Because now he's at Louisiana Tech, and I know Tech's glad to have him, and he loves being back here. He was at ULM at one point. He's from Arkansas, and he calls this place home. You got to like that you've got a defensive line coach that loves it here. He's had opportunities to leave, I promise.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Stan Egan's really good.
Yeah, Egan is really good.
Kim Dameron likes being here. Coons will be gone. Coons is a really good coach at linebacker, and he's young. One day, Coons will be leaving Louisiana Tech, and we'll be upgrading at jobs, and I wish him nothing but the best. Bradford, what a corner coach he is.
Ronnie Bradford is outstanding.
So,
speaking of Ronnie Bradford, also Louisiana Tech's ranked in the top 25 in passes intercepted. They're tied for 23rd. They've got 5 interceptions already on the season.
Let's take that break. On the other side of the break, we'll begin our Army talk with Charles Grievous. We're going to go with GoBlackKnights.com. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford. Jonathan Ford, Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me here. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Charles Grievous of GoBlackKnights.com.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Charles, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, guys, how are you? Thanks for having me aboard.
Thanks for agreeing to come on and talk a little Black Knight Louisiana Tech matchup Saturday in Dallas. Of course, yeah. A neutral site matchup. Just talk about the season thus far for the Black Knights, the feeling around the program, and how the fans feel about the season so far.
Well, I guess you can kind of pick your point in which game the fans like and don't like. It's been an up and down season, to say the least, for Army. Started off with a really nice win against Morgan State, went on the road against Ball State and really got demoralized, if you will. And then Stanford came in for the third game of the season and ranked fifth in the nation, by the way. And Army played well that game. Actually, there was a little vibe there that an upset was about to take place. It didn't happen. happen, but there was optimism then going into the next game last week against Wake Forest, and the team just didn't show up. I would say that right now, this game against Louisiana Tech is a must-win, not just for the season, but for the program, at least as the fans see it. Coach Ellison, I wouldn't say is not necessarily in a hot seat, but it's getting pretty warm right now. This is a huge, huge game for the Army Black Knights.
I think Louisiana Tech feels the same way. There's going to be a breaking point at some point, obviously, because somebody's got to win. Louisiana Tech feels like it's a must-win as well. Of course, Army has always been a triple option team. That's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do well in that triple option? Does the quarterback like to keep it? Do they like to give it to the dive guy a lot? Do they like to pitch it? What are their tendencies?
Great question. This is a team that the last two seasons have led the nation in rushing. So they know how to really put the metal to the pedal when it comes to putting the ball on the ground and running the ball. But this year has been a little different. They lost their four-year starter in Trent Stillman to graduation. The reins of the offense has been handed over to junior Angel Santiago at quarterback. He has a tendency, unfortunately, to hold on to the ball more so than I think the coaches like and the fans like, and I think that's part of his maturation. And so this is an option team that's still trying to find their identity. That's the downside. Even further down is that there are two key components to the triple option. Raymond Maples, who has led the rushing attack the last 2 years, he is out for the season, most likely, and full back Larry Dixon, also an integral part to the offense, is going to be day-to-day. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that. They do have a slot back in Terry Baggett, who has come on really strong, 96 yards against Stanford, 125 yards, I believe it was, against Wake Forest. He's an electrifying runner, but again, the triple option is not necessarily surrounding one guy. So the tendency is really to get his ball based on how the Louisiana Tech defense responds to it. So that should be interesting to see.
So Maples and Dixon went out against Stanford. I see they played in three games.
That is correct. And both missed the Wake Forest game last week.
And what is Dixon's injury? Is it a knee injury, an ankle injury? What is it?
It hasn't been disclosed to us yet, I think the coaching staff is pretty optimistic that he'll be in the game, getting some reps. How many and how often? That'll again be a game day decision.
When you look at Army defensively, Louisiana Tech, of course, with the freshman All-American and Kenneth Dixon is back this week, just like he was last week, and seems to be back in 100% healthy and is a force to be reckoned with on the ground. And a redshirt freshman quarterback will probably be the starting quarterback in Ryan Higgins. What is Army's strength on defense?
Well, I think the defensive leader, without a question, is junior free safety Jeffrey Bacon, who from his linebacker spot last season led the team in tackles with, I think, roughly about 136, which was fifth in the nation. He has since been moved to free safety. I think potentially he has the ability to be one of the best free safeties in the nation over the next year or two. But also coming on strong and an integral part of the Army defense is nose tackle Richard Glover. He has become a presence in the middle and obviously a much-needed commodity for the Army defense. And then when you look at their secondary, they have two solid corners. One is sophomore Chris Carnegie, and the other is heralded freshman Josh Jenkins. Both these guys make sophomore and freshman mistakes, but they have the ability just to respond, put those mistakes behind them and step up and make big plays. So it'd be interesting to see how they react to a very wide-open Louisiana Tech offense.
What matchup do you see defensively and offensively for Army that are something to watch that you think that Army may have the upper hand at?
Well, I really think that it'll be interesting to see from a defensive standpoint how they stop the option. I know that they have not seen the option, and there's a big difference between watching the option on film and running it in practice and then seeing it live. So it will be interesting to see more so the game day, I think, adjustments on the part of the defensive coordinators of Louisiana Tech, and also the halftime adjustments. It'll be interesting to see also how Army adjusts to the open offense of Louisiana Tech. So I really think that matchups really come from the coordinators themselves more so than the players themselves.
Louisiana Tech has done a pretty decent job at stopping the run this year. Of course, a nose tackle or a defensive tackle, and Justin Ellis, who's about 357, that'll start. And in his alongside of him, Shaquille Lucas or even Vernon Butler, who's either 300 or 321, depending on who's playing. They've got a lot of girth there in the middle. And then Ike Inampali's one of the nation's leaders in sacks at defensive end, a senior defensive line, obviously, because that's the strength of the team. Do you think that could play a factor if they can play discipline football against that option?
Well, that was the key word there, discipline. You know, you're so used to playing instinctively on the defensive side, but here against the triple option, you have to play within the framework of your assignment and play discipline ball. Last week, Army ran into a defensive nose tackle out of Wake Forest who just actually dominated the game. But it wasn't about his size. It was really about his athleticism, his quickness, and also playing very disciplined. So, again, if Louisiana Tech's defense plays within themselves, it should be an interesting matchup trying to stop that triple option offense.
When you're talking about stopping the triple option with success, is the key to tackle the dive man, tackle the quarterback, and tackle the pitch man on every play?
Well, if you ask me, it's a matter of picking your poison. You know, last few games, we can see that most defenses were really keying on Raymond Maples, who really has a tremendous, production when it comes to off-tackle plays. But also, there was a key on Larry Dixon, the fullback. I think a lot of teams want to see what Angel Santiago can bring to the table from his quarterback spot. So at this moment, he's leading the team in rushing, which is not necessarily unusual, but when you have the horses that Army has, at the slot back positions and fullback, it's something that needs to change. And so it'll be interesting to see if Angel can play within himself, making the right decisions at quarterback. Again, the option offense is very simple. It's what the defense gives you. You have to be able to read it. You have to be disciplined. And again, that has been one of the issues surrounding Santiago's play at quarterback thus far.
How often will they throw the ball, if at all, this Saturday?
Good question. They have two solid receivers, Siobhan Lawrence, a junior, and then a freshman, Xavier Moss. Both are capable players, particularly Moss when it comes to yards after the catch. Santiago is not the best passer, but he can get the ball out there. And again, it will really be contingent upon how the Louisiana defense responds. Also, the key for Army from a quarterback standpoint is that their backup quarterback, A.J. Scher, is hurt and may not make the trip. Not sure how that's going to be handled, but the third-string quarterback is Kelvin White, a guy who actually is probably the best passer on the team. If he gets some reps, I believe that you'll probably see the Army offense run out of a pistol, maybe shotgun set from time to time, and the ball in the air a little bit more than normal.
And then talk about the defensively, what matchups. You said that it'll be on the coordinator, but what about specific, where do you see the game being won and lost more so than anything?
I think for at least from an Army standpoint, it will be their defensive line, how it matches up against the strength of the Louisiana Tech offensive line. Army has some weaknesses there just in terms of not playing up to potential, although I do believe Richard Glover is coming on really strong. So I think the interior of the Army defensive line against the interior of the Louisiana Tech offensive line will be the key matchup.
I have noticed that Army has given up some yards on the ground thus far. Is that the issue, the interior of the defensive line?
That has been the issue. I would say over the last two games, though, we are beginning to see a really development of that defensive line against Stanford. I think they held their own considering the opponent. Wake Forest pretty much slowed down their rushing attack. I believe that depending on who wins the battle on the offensive line versus the defensive line, I think that will be the key factor in Saturday's matchup.
Charles, we really appreciate you coming on the show with us tonight, and I look forward to covering the game, and let me know if there's anything I can do for you Saturday.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
Charles. Take care.
Charles Grievous of GoBlackKnights.com. No surprise.
No surprise. Basically, he said that Army's going to run.
I didn't ask for a prediction. I probably should have done that.
He said that Army's going to run and run a lot, which we already knew. You had asked him a good question about the passing game, and he mentioned that White is the better passer of the two quarterbacks, Kelvin White, and I thought it was Angel, but I guess it's Angel.
That's what I was expecting to call him Angel today, and he didn't say Angel. He said Angel.
I'm going to say Angel Santiago. Anyway, Angel Santiago, he's thrown for less than 200 yards for the entire season. White was 5 of 6 for like 64 yards against, in the Wake Forest game. Army is 122nd in passing yards per game with 78. So they're not going to be throwing the ball.
And the one place that they are very highly ranked, is in time of possession. Those guys will hold on to the ball, and Tech has to make the most of every opportunity they have when they are on offense.
Yeah,
I think Kenneth Dixon's going to go for 150. He's healthy. Ryan Higgins could have a good day with the zone read.
Right. I mean, you heard him say that the interior of that defensive line does give up some rushing yards. They are susceptible to the rush.
I think that I do like Tech in this game. I really do, especially after what we saw against Kansas. You get those turnovers fixed. Kansas is a better football team than Army. Let's call a spade a spade.
Kansas is a better football team than Army. I'll give you that. Army's not very good. They've lost 3 consecutive games. In all of the games that they played this year, they've given up a ton of points. Their defense has given up 4 touchdowns a game. So...
And Wake Forest, a team that really isn't that good.
No, Wake Forest is not a very good football team.
And they scored 25 against Army.
Right.
And really, he said they kept them at bay rushing the ball. I tend to disagree with that statement. Let's see, Wake Forest had one rusher, 19 carries for 96 yards with a 5.1 yard carry average.
That's a good game.
11 carries for 66 yards, 6 yards a carry average, 10 carries for 41 yards, 4.1 yards a carry, 2 for 19, 9.5 yards a carry. I don't think that's keeping them at bay. Keeping somebody at bay is having a less than 4 yard a carry average.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Army's given up 40 points to Ball State, 34 to Stanford, 25 to Wake Forest, and the most they've scored was against Morgan State. They scored 28 points. They're only scoring 18 points a game, which is less than Tech has given up. So
something's got to give.
Yeah, something's got to give. What I hope to see is that Tech's defensive line, like he said, is disciplined.
If I were to guess, Army's going to run to the right at Vontarius Dora and Kendrick James all night long.
Well, they're not
or
going
all afternoon long.
They're not going at IK. You know, this is a really Daniel Cobb is third in the country right now in tackles for a loss. This is a good opportunity for Daniel Cobb to take the lead.
But at the same time, the middle linebacker against a triple option, if his role is the dive man,
right?
Or are they going to put the onus on the defensive tackles, because they're going to cut block a lot?
Yeah, they will.
To get those defensive linemen on the ground.
Well, but you heard him say that Dixon is out, and
he's day to day.
Yeah, well, that's true.
He's Dixon expected to make the trip.
Dixon was day to day. The other guy was out.
They're running their best running back is out for the right. season. That's probably why Angel has had to carry the load.
He's carried 64 times so far this year, but Baguette has carried 31 times for 258 yards, which is 8.3 yards per carry.
He's the home run threat.
Yeah.
Terry Baguette is the home run threat, 31 carries, 258 yards, 64.5 yards a game.
And not a small guy, 6'1", 200.
His prototypical running back size.
Yeah.
And he'll be playing, he called him a slot back because that's what they call him in that wishbone. Get a fullback and then 2 backs.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine Terry Baggett's going to line up on the right side of that wishbone a lot.
I think so too.
They're going to fake the handoff to the dive man. The poor guy's going to get hammered all game. Going to have a headache like Jared's got right now at the end of the game. But I actually like the triple option because it is so hard to stop. You have to be so disciplined.
Oh, I like the triple option too. I really like running the triple option. Like on video games.
No, it's fun. Nobody can deny that is not fun.
Exactly.
Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk more Army football, Army Louisiana Tech, and then, of course, in the 7:15 segment, we will give our predictions of the game Saturday. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Proud of all we have done, fighting till the battle's won. I won't be
don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
That's a little bit different of a song there, Joe Dirt, from the Army song by John Philip Sousa to this. Consistency, I like it. Said no one ever. I don't know where he came, where this one came from, right field after that other one. Anyway, Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into more Army football.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com or tweet at bleedtechblue with the hashtag BTBRadio.
Well done, sir.
A lot of ways to contact us.
Just choose one.
Any. Or you know what you could do? Tweet us as you're calling. Do it two ways.
There you go. And ask the same question, which would be kind of pointless. But anyway, Louisiana Tech Army, Saturday, 3 o'clock inside of Cotton Bowl Stadium. Tickets are available. Louisiana Tech sent that release out earlier today, so make sure you get your tickets. I really think Louisiana Tech's on the upswing of this season. Hunter Lee said it felt like the 2011 season to him, which the 2011 season where Tech really turned it on and had a big time winning streak and made it and went to the Poinsettia Bowl.
Start off 1-4, quarterback change, win 7 in a row. Start off 1-3, quarterback change, lose the first. Maybe this will be the start of a long winning streak.
We talked about it earlier about how bad Conference USA is in football, and this conference, the schedule sets up just fine.
Oh yeah, looking at the future games, if you include Saturday at or versus Army, then you get UTEP at home.
You're on the road.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at UTEP's. My bad. North Texas at home. FIU, Southern Miss. Go to Rice, host Tulsa. Go to UTSA.
Personally, the three hardest games left on the schedule: North Texas, Rice, and UTSA.
Really, you don't think that Tulsa is going to be? You don't think they're going to turn it around at all?
I think that North Texas is a better football team than Tulsa.
North Texas played Georgia.
They gave them all they wanted in the first half.
They sure did. They didn't have. Unfortunately, it wasn't much of a game in the second half.
It was not a game at all in the second half. The North Texas defense isn't that great. They gave up over 600 yards.
Yeah.
And that really seems to be – Tech is one of the few teams in the conference that has a good – not going to say an awesome defense.
And you know who wins –
a good defense.
And you know who wins this defense – I mean, this conference consistently year in and year out.
It's defensive teams.
The number one defense in the conference generally wins the conference.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing here are 7 or 8 wins – really, if the offense protects the ball, if the offense can protect the ball and the defense plays the way they did against Kansas, you can win all of these games, every one of them, especially FIU and Southern Miss.
FIU and Southern Miss, you can go ahead and pencil them in.
Well,
those are two very bad football teams, very bad football teams. Rice is going to be a tough game.
I'm interested in the Rice game.
I'm going to go down to that one because I think it's going to be a good football game. I don't think Tech's as bad as everybody's making them out to be.
Well, they're not, but Rice is a really good football team. And they played Houston really close last week, and Houston is a good football team. Personally, I like Rice.
I know you do. You're a big Rice fan.
I wasn't until I met
David Bailiff.
Until I met Bailiff. Bailiff turned me into a believer.
He is
something else.
He's going to crush you if you're not a believer.
Right. Well, I tell you what, he's going to kill you with jokes. Dude is hilarious.
It's a funny guy.
Great interview.
But I really like the Louisiana Tech defensive line has played the option before. They've played Navy. I would imagine IK's. I know IK was on the team when Navy came to Ruston a couple of years ago, and he may have been on the team when Tech went out to Maryland. I'm not positive, but this team has played option teams before, so I know that the seniors know what's coming. So it's nothing brand new for them. It's new, but it's not brand new. They know what's coming. Can IK IK and Vontarius Dora have not always played the most disciplined football at defensive end, and in against the third against the triple option, you have to be. They have to be the guy that covers the quarterback, and then the outside linebacker or the nickel or the corner has to cover the pitch man. That is the way it works. The defensive tackles and the middle linebacker typically get the dive guy. If the dive guy doesn't get the ball, the middle linebacker, if he hasn't tackled him, is going for the quarterback as well. That's what's going to happen. And if Louisiana Tech is not disciplined on defense, they're not going to have as much success as they did last week.
That's the like Charles Grievous said, that's the big deal when you're trying to stop the option is being disciplined on defense. I think Dora has the athleticism to be able to stop the option. It's not a matter of athleticism. It's just a matter of will he.
You have to play it. It's assignment football.
Yeah.
You say Vontarius Dora and IK and Impali. I don't care if the quarterback, you don't think the quarterback has the ball. He may. Hit him.
Right, right. I mean, you have to.
I don't care if you think that he's already pitched it. Tackle him anyway.
One thing that I do like about the matchup as far as from a coaching perspective, you don't have to worry about Army throwing the ball. You don't have to prepare for throwing the ball. All you have to do all week long is work on stopping the option.
And tackling.
Right, tackling.
My opinion of what we're going to see from Tech defensively is they'll play some odd man fronts with IK at linebacker or Vontarius Dora at linebacker. Some, and I also think they're going to play some 44 for I think that's what they call it, with where they're going to drop the strong safety down in the box with Thomas McDonald or Kentrell Bryce over the top as the safety valve. You got to get as many people into the box and string out the running plays as much as possible. If they don't have a fullback, the fullback doesn't sound like he's going to be 100%. If he's day-to-day still, he's not 100%.
Yeah, regardless of whether or not he actually plays, which I think he will, he's not going to be 100%.
So they're not going to give it to the dive man a ton. And that's the key to stopping the run to the outside is string it out. Don't give him any cutback lanes.
Right.
Get him to the sideline. You got an extra defender in that sideline and use it. There's nothing wrong with him running out of bounds for a 2-yard gain.
Right.
And Louisiana Tech's done a good job with that thus far against really every team on the schedule. The defensive line hasn't played poorly yet.
Knock on wood.
I just knocked on the wood. Let's take a break. And on this other break, we'll give you our predictions, Joe Dirt, myself, and Jared. And, of course, I'm still leading this thing.
Yeah, Kansas, 52-yard
field
goal.
I got a two-game lead.
A 52-yard field goal is what kept you in it.
But what did I predicted 20-17.
Yeah, you did, and you were wrong.
But the victory was perfect, 3-point victory.
Okay, yeah, I had a 4-point. Okay, I had a 4-point victory. Yeah, 1 point, such a big deal, 1 point.
Let's take this break. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, ESPN Radio 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jared, a couple of sponsors. We'll get into a little more talk and then some predictions.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Tech's had its kicking woes for field goals. The kickoffs have been very good this year with Kyle Fisher. If he can't right the ship and become more consistent with his field goals, I believe Holtz is going to pull the red shirt off of Jonathan Barnes. And at this point, you're a third of the way through the season. It's hard for a coach to pull that red shirt off because he wants him for another 4 years. He wants to keep him on campus for 5. So that's probably the reason they haven't pulled it off yet. And had he missed again that third one, there's no doubt in my mind that the shirt would have been pulled off of Barnes and he would have finished the season as the kicker. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a punter, a kickoff specialist, and a separate place kicker. in my opinion, that probably is what needs to happen.
Have Fisher be the kickoff specialist, you mean, and have Barnes kick the field goals and the PATs.
Sure. How about McPherson this past week?
It's so crazy watching McPherson because
he just gets it done.
He does. And then there's like this, there's this one punt that just for whatever reason goes 13 yards or whatever, which we didn't have in the Kansas game. That wasn't an issue.
But the Kansas punter who had a 78 yard punt, he had a 30 yard punt.
Man, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen to everybody. I'm just saying that McPherson got pulled against Tulane for Gerald Chouse because his punts weren't going anywhere. And then he goes out in the Kansas and just has a great.
How many inside
game.
The 10 did he have? Three?
Three inside the 10. And they were, man, the coverage team getting down there and stopping the ball was doing a fantastic job.
Ronnie Bradford again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ronnie Bradford's position groups, special teams, and corners, not a whole lot more can be said about them. I think they're both groups are playing well. I mean, the kicking game, I'm not sure how much you put that on the coach.
Yeah, except for maybe the decision to send out Barnes rather than Fisher.
Is that Bradford or is it Holtz?
Yeah.
That's to be determined, and people say that that's the media's job to speculate, and I don't think so. These guys are paid to coach, are paid to coach and paid to make the decisions. Is it whose job is it to second guess them on every single thing in their first year? I don't think that's anybody's job. Now, if it's 4 years into their tenure, sure. But year one, I just think that's splitting hairs. But that was me standing on a soapbox. I know nobody's ever heard me stand on a soapbox on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. So
yeah, sure.
That comes as a shocker.
Right now, it's neither here nor there. What I was afraid of seeing was Kyle Fisher go out and miss his fifth consecutive field goal. And then I was, you know, it just, how long do you let the kicker, do you let him lose you the game to save the red shirt for Barnes? That's what I was,
yeah,
that's what I was concerned with. And it's a kicker, you know.
And they did change the holder in the second half. I'm not sure that they were bad holds personally.
I think you're just doing whatever you can besides pulling the kicker.
Or the holder's up to the kicker. The kicker chooses the holder. He's probably trying something so that he doesn't lose his job. That's probably what's happening.
Maybe so. Showing some effort.
Yeah. You can't. I don't think that is on the coaching. The coaches aren't going to say, "Hey, try this holder," because it's a relationship thing. It's a do you two gel?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we've talked enough about special teams since so many people out there listening want to hear about special teams. You know, this game Saturday, it's now actually an Army favor on most of the sports boards on the internet in Vegas, which is surprising to me. We were looking during one of the other breaks, the Venetian, it's in Vegas, it's flipped a ton. It's gone from a Tech favorite to an Army pick'em to a Tech favorite to an Army favorite. Back to a Tech favorite. Now it's back to an Army favorite. It's a 1 point, 1.5 point favorite for Army. I don't think Vegas knows what the heck to expect.
Yeah.
I think they were shocked in that game last week by Louisiana Tech, and they're trying to figure out how to make their lines on this game, especially after, I mean, Army did give Stanford a good game, and Stanford's a good football team.
Well, Army gave Stanford a good game, and then Kansas was favored by
10.5 points,
and they
laid an egg.
Yeah, they laid an egg. They lost
covered.
By three. Yeah, they covered.
And that doesn't help Vegas whenever the underdog covers.
Exactly. Whenever I wrote my preview for week five, at the time, Tech was favored by one. And I chose Louisiana Tech, and I'm still going to choose Louisiana Tech.
I just think they turned a corner against Kansas. I don't think the last second field goal is going to take the wind out of their sails. It was a tough game, but whenever you go back and watch that tape, as much as they dominated the game, they whipped Kansas up and down the field. They just turned the ball over too much. If they protect the football, the game's not even close.
I agree. I mean, they left 20 points on the field.
So, I don't see how this – I really don't think that Army is a better football team or even close to better football team than Kansas. Now, the triple option makes it a different game because it's an unconventional – in unconventional offense, and it's hard to prepare for. But like Holt said in the press conference yesterday, having a Paul Turner on your roster who's sitting out this year, ran a wing T offense at West Monroe, he's got a pretty good scout team quarterback. I would imagine the Army wishes they had Paul Turner as their quarterback.
I just think that the preparation is going to be so much different, you know, like you said. But ultimately, I don't think that Army's a better team than Kansas in any aspect of the game. Except for maybe rushing.
I don't know, but James Sims is good, man.
James Sims was good, and Pearson ran the ball well too.
It's the scheme. You have to be so perfect on defense that the triple option really is one of the great equalizers. It's a lot like the spread.
Yeah,
the spread does the same thing because you have so many people to cover. Which one are they going to choose now? Joe, we're going to start with you this week. Get you to make your pick. You and Jared are tied this on a. I've got two games.
Joe's
two
the game reason lead. Why I'm two games behind. Joe lied.
You should be one game behind now.
I should be one game behind.
But you're still behind. So anyway, you're two games behind, Joe. What's your pick?
Tech 24, Army 21.
Ooh, a nail biter. But Tech covers.
Tech wins
and covers. Jared, your turn. I don't think Army scores 21.
I don't think Army scores 21. I don't think Tech scores 24.
Tech could score 24.
I'm not saying that they can't. I'm saying they're not going.
They
to.
Won't.
I'm saying they won't.
They may not have the ball long enough to score 40 something points total.
Total. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I was thinking about it through the break. I know I'm taking Tech. I just feel like Army's going to control the time of possession so much that if Tech doesn't capitalize on every opportunity they have on offense,
it could be a long day.
It could be a really long, low scoring, not very fun to watch.
You mean like
game.
The Kansas game?
Exactly. Pretty much.
Where it was 13-10.
Yeah. I'm going to take Tech. I'm going to say Tech scores two touchdowns and a field goal.
17.
I say they get 17, and I say they hold Army to one touchdown. 17-7.
Ooh. I think everybody would be happy with that. I'm going to say that Tech scores 20-21. I'm with Joe. I think that this